I'm going to have to make this quick. It's the news, according to me. That was quick. It is the news, according to me. Wednesday, April 23rd, 7:43 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm at the home studio this morning. Tomorrow morning, very good possibility I will have a live broadcast from the international headquarters, I think. That's the plan. It will either be tomorrow morning or possibly Friday morning. I think it's going to be tomorrow morning. However, there's a possibility of having a breakfast with my wife either tomorrow or Friday. So one of those days might conflict with that. However, if I can get out of bed early enough and get the dogs corralled around, it might happen. But it's Wishy Washy Wednesday. Welcome to Wishy Washy Wednesday. It's a Wishy Washy Welcome Wednesday. It's a Wishy Washy Wednesday Welcome. That's what the WWW stands for in websites. Wishy Washy Wednesday. Welcome. Anyway, welcome to the show. If you haven't ever listened to the show before, it is a show where I am not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I just give you a whole bunch of opinions of mine on current events, news, old man stories, and just general riffraff that happens to float through my head. It just comes out of my mouth. So I have, and we have these days, you know, Mishmash Monday, Topical Tuesday, Wishy-Washy Wednesday, Thirsty Thursday, and Freaky Friday, with no advertisements, other than all I have to do is put up with my rambling occasionally, which is sometimes more entertaining than some advertisements. I'd like to talk to you about Noble Gold. I'd like to talk to you about Ground News. There's all these. Sometimes there's actually people now that they run podcasts like this on, and they talk more. I've timed them. They spend more time now talking about their sponsor than they have content in the show. Now, this is typical of somebody like in some Fox News. A lot of people, like Sean Hannity, I pick on him a lot because he's a prime example of this. If you listen to the Sean Hannity show, it is, first 5 minutes is nothing but it's an intro tag. He's just constantly, you know, just the bumper, the news, you know, the bumper music, all the stuff that happens at the beginning and all the clips of the show and clips of things that people have said. And he finally gets into it. He started that kind of calms down. You know, I've got like a 20-second intro song. It's not even that, probably 15 seconds. and we fade that out. And then I get into the whole thing and I start talking. Of course, now I'm just rambling. But the at least, you know, his thing would still, his intro bumper, we're 3 minutes into the show, his intro bumper would still be playing. And it's usually a couple minutes after the hour because, guess what? They have to have the news at the beginning, up top of every hour. So then he gets this 10-minute little talk he does, and then they go into, he calls it his monologue. He sets the table. That's what he says. And then he goes into this whole thing where he has, you know, of course, another advertisement comes in. And sometimes he has it's a local advertisement, a national advertisement. The local ones usually come in on the top and bottom of the hour. And then they have the, what happens with the second part of the first half hour, where he has another 10 minutes of content. He will sometimes talk about the guest he's going to have on or whatever he's going to talk. He talks to his producer, whoever he talks to. He just kind of does this kind of intro. And once in a while, he'll have a guest on it. Typically, it's the same people every time. I guess this cadre, about a dozen people that he calls on typically, including Lindsey Graham. And who else does he have on all the time? There's constant staples, I call him. He's got this, people he calls on all the time. most of them are establishment politicians. Newt Gingrich. Now, Newt Gingrich, I have a tendency to, I tend to like him a little bit more than I used to. There was a time when I really liked him, back when he first got Speaker of the House. I think he then ran for president, I think, after, was it after Reagan? It was after Bush, maybe Reagan or Bush. And I think he ran again. He ran in the primary, didn't make it very far. He would have probably made a good president. But however, he was, at the time, he was becoming more and more established. I didn't like that. The smell on the guy was just, a very smart guy, a very intelligent guy, and had good political sense. The problem was he just had too much establishment going on. And that was making me uncomfortable. Of course, I think we ended up with, who was it? I don't know what year he ran, actually, from the primary. But he was a great speaker, for that matter, for the most part. And, I mean, he made some bad decisions, but that's, you know, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20, whatever. So we had, but now he seems to actually have a genuine, he's gone through some things in life, late in life, I think, that have kind of squeezed the establishment out of him, and he's kind of on his own independent understanding now, journey, track, whatever. And I think he's kind of settled into understanding the founding principles and become much more of I would call him now a conservative. But because he doesn't have a political career to protect anymore. So he's just, no, you don't. This happens so many times with politicians. Is it Jake Tapper that's lost his job as well? Now he's come out and said, you know, he's kind of calling out the Democrat Party on this whole thing of, you know, what they did during the 2024 election and how they've been just constantly. That's my dog in the background, by the way, chewing on a little thing, chew toy thing. So he had, you know, they constantly do this. They'll come out there adamantly to say one thing, and then all of a sudden they change their mind. But once they lose their position that they were getting paid to have, they're paid to have these positions, political posturing. And none of them ever talk about what's in my cup. I have a half cup of chai. Where did it all go? Where did all the chai go? I must have a leak in my cup somewhere. I just made it. I couldn't have drank that much. Chai with Almond Joy Creamer. And then I also have, my backup cup is really exciting today. It's got a lot of ice in the cup. Well, it did. And now it has water. It has water. Ice water. I have ice water. It's my backup cup to this today. Just, I'm on a health kick for the next hour. Speaking of time, I've kind of limited on time here. I got to get going. I've got to go to a men's breakfast thing here in about 40 minutes, which means I've got to get this show wrapped up, put in the can, and everything done and uploaded in the next 40 minutes, which means we're going to have about a 10-minute show here, and it's already 8 minutes long. So I might as well close it out now. That's how wishy-washy we are. Now, I want to play a little clip here. This clip doesn't last. It's about maybe a minute. This is Elizabeth Warren. Prime example of wishy-washiness. And you know, how long were we told that Joe Biden was, you know, for 4 years, we were told Joe Biden was with it. Sharp. He's cogent. And F you if you can't handle the truth, according to Morning Joe. It's Joe Scarborough. These people are pathetic. They know better. Now listen to how, I don't think she actually says anything about it in this particular clip. I think it's something further or longer. Where is it? I think it's further down the road here. I'll try to find the clip. This first part of the clip kind of says it all about the way this lady is. Now she's being interviewed by, I can't remember this guy's name. This comes courtesy of Black Conservative Perspective. It's not Black Conservative Patriot, BCP. This is different BCP. This is Black Conservative Perspective. This guy has almost a million subscribers, 908,000 subscribers. and I, how that happens, I have no idea. He's just got a show where he sits behind a microphone like I do. Some people must know something about SEO that I don't know. Anyway, well, at least he's enjoying himself down there on the floor. dog. So I have maybe it's the dog. Maybe it's the dog is my problem. What I need to do is have a show that's a video show and have a dog cam, or people can just watch the dog. They can just turn me off and watch the dog. Well, now he's up here on my desk. He thinks it's time. He apparently knows I'm talking about him. He wants to get in on the action. He's been messing around so much this morning, he's kind of tangling himself up in his leash, which is he gets freaked out. He freaks himself out.
Wait, dear, get your toy over there. Here you go.
All right. Let's go on. Onward and upward. Let's play some of this audio. This is Elizabeth Warren, and she's being interviewed. She's being asked a question. Notice how she goes with this. Now, this recently there was another guy, this Van Hollen guy. He did the same thing. He was asked a question. He goes, "Well, I'd like to change the topic." It's like Donald Trump just wants to change the topic. It's like, no, you want to change the topic.
Let's get into it.
Okay, here we go.
At a party, went with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
2023,
mm-hmm.
After the midterms,
mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party says, look at this. Look at how we outperformed. This is a referendum on Trump. This is actually an indication that people want Joe Biden. They made a connection that is not true, grounded in no reality. Now, two times in 2016,
she's nodding her head.
Both of the times we lost, the Democratic Party has opted not to change. Now, we switched to Kamala Harris, obviously. But that was about 6 months too late.
Now,
why is the Democratic Party?
Something. This guy's talking to her, and he's looking right at her. He's got his laptop there beside him, but he's looking right at her, and he's asking her these questions. She's looking off to the side. Her body language is, "I don't want to be here. I don't want to. I'm listening, but I don't like this question, and I don't want to be here." She's not looking at the guy. Not looking him in the face. This is very indicative and very telling of a person who is, okay, this is, there's a lot of deception going on here. Let me just put it that way. Let's just keep going.
So slow to pivot.
He's looking right at her.
So many talented
She's looking away
people.
From him, looking down
Why
on the floor, looking to the right.
We not get past.
Won't look at him.
Our past.
So I want to give a.
Now, she turns her head towards him, and she has her eyes closed. Eyes, like, squeezed shut tight. This is very, it's very interesting, the response she gives now to this question.
People, why can we not get past
Why can't we get past our past?
So, I want to give an answer to a different question.
Of course you do. It's because
I do.
Of course, because
I want to give an answer to a different question. I want to ask you a question, and you want to give me an answer to a different question.
I want to give you an answer to a different question.
Well, of course you do. That's what he says. He goes, well, of course you do.
To a different question.
Of course you do. It's
because I do.
Of course, because I asked the question.
Of course.
You love to reframe every question.
I do. It's one of my superpowers.
You love to do this, but I'm asking you to answer my question because we don't have that much time left.
I know, and I'm going to run out the clock here.
I'll walk out.
She's going to run out. She's making a joke about it, but that's what she's doing.
Basically admitting she's a snake.
That's exactly what she's doing. Now, let's go. I think the rest of this talks more about Joe Biden's
Just isn't helpful unless what we're answering is, are we going to do any better going forward? Have we learned a damn thing?
No, that was my next question.
Okay, good. So I'm just right there with you on that question.
Okay.
And that is, we're learning, but slowly.
Okay. Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him. You said that up until July of last year.
The debate.
I said what I believe to be truth.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said what I believe to be truth. She knew better. We all knew better. Everybody been saying it for 3 years. This guy was a mumbling, bumbling buffoon. And yet they were telling us, oh, well, you have no, you're not a doctor. You're not, blah, 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 blah. Of course, I'm not a doctor, but I can tell what cognizance looks like. This guy was, now listen to what she said. Listen to her defense about this.
I said I had not seen decline.
This is the channel guy, in the background laughing, which is kind of funny. he's like dying laughing at what she's saying here. Pretty funny stuff. Now they go on. We'll see what else she has to say here. So here we go. He's got to. Here we go.
Sharp as you?
Was he as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline.
This guy, he can't stop laughing, which is pretty funny. He's like rolling off of his chair, laughing, which is pretty funny. And she's like, is he as sharp as you? I said, I didn't see decline. Okay. Well, so this is the kind of wishy-washiness that we have in Washington, in the Capitol. Now there's another clip here he plays. This is, I believe this is Tim Walz.
To acknowledge that President Biden was not up for the job of running for re-election and that this was a major mistake by
He made that decision. He made that decision.
He made that decision.
I know.
No, he didn't make that decision. 24 hours earlier, before he made that decision, he was digging in, saying he wasn't going to leave, he was going to run, and that's all there was to it. I think it would have been an even greater landslide, in my opinion, because I think there would have been further decline. I think the more that Joe would have stayed on the campaign trail, the worse it would have gotten before Election Day. That's what I believe, especially after that debate. The fatigue has a way of bringing out things that I think is. What is the dog chewing on? I have seen this in my own life. When I am fatigued, my ability to make good decisions, to be even my coordination goes down. There's so many things that happen when you literally become fatigued. And that's, you know, whether it's you may be beyond tired. You may not even feel like you're sleepy. You know, it's not necessarily sleepy, but you're mentally and physically fatigued, and you don't realize it. That's one of the biggest problems with fatigue. This is much like drinking. Well, I understand. I don't drink, but my understanding with drink, you don't know that you're having a problem. You don't know that you're declining. In fact, you have a sense of, it's almost euphoric. You have a sense of, well, I think I'm doing pretty well. And yet as you're falling down the stairs, oh, I think I'm doing pretty well. I've only tripped over three stairs so far on my way down here. That's until you hit the ground and it's like, oh, well, you know, happens. This is the kind of thing that now everybody knows. They were standing there shoving it in our face, saying this was a right-wing conspiracy. This is all cheap fakes. And so all the stuff they said, all of a sudden, it all went away when they realized they were called out on it. And it was there for all to see during the debate, and they couldn't deny it anymore. But they won't talk about it. They won't talk about why Joe Biden had to step down. Why did Joe Biden have to step down? What was the reason Joe decided to step down? Just because it was time for a new person? He could have decided that before he ran. All of a sudden, he had this great revelation, this epiphany that it was time for the new generation to step in. That's really? I think there was more to it than that. They wouldn't come out and say, well, you know, it's obvious. I'm not with it anymore. It's time we pass the torch. Well, it's a little past time then, if that's what you're thinking about. They still won't come out and admit that that's their denial up to that. Well, we didn't notice it. They're trying to deny that they ever saw it and up until the debate.
they were hiding it. They were deliberately hiding it. They are culpable in the cover-up of Joe Biden's, the attempted cover-up, I should say, because we all saw it. The attempted cover-up of his decline, his cognitive issues. And yet we are led to believe, somehow, they didn't know anything about it until that day. And then, well, Joe Biden, he made that decision. He made that decision. That's according to Tim Walz here. He made that decision. That's what he says.
Biden was not up for the job of running for re-election, and that this was a major mistake by the
Democrats. He made that decision.
Yeah, nobody convinced him of that. The Democrat Party had nothing to do with it. Nobody met with him. Nobody called him. Nobody threatened him with anything. He just made that. He made that decision. He made that decision. This is Tim Walz. This is the kind of people that we deal with on the left all the time. And now, and one other wishy-washy thing. Judge Alito, one of my favorites. Thomas, I think Clarence Thomas is probably my favorite. SCOTUS. Judge. But he, the... Alito came out very boldly. In fact, Alito should be the... why is John Roberts the head of this the Supreme Court? I don't understand how a person... Are you appointed to that position for life? Or how do they decide who's that person? So when he gets replaced, is that going to be the person who then becomes the... You know, the replacement all of a sudden becomes the... what do they call it? Chairperson or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't even know. I'm not sure what the responsibilities of that person are. All I know is they can direct a lot of things. So he should be in John Roberts' position, in my opinion. But so Alito, who might possibly, I think Clarence Thomas, for one, will probably retire during Trump's administration. That's my guess. I would look for that in about 2 years. Or maybe next year, probably, because they won't want to do it in the fourth year. His fourth year, probably want to do it in his third year. So we have, because that's an election year, we can't have, you know, judges appointed in the third year. Kind of depends on who wins the House, I guess, or the Senate. But we have, because it's to be confirmed, so that we have this stuff happening with Alito, between Alito and some of the other judges on the court, and he's calling out Roberts and some others. I think on Amy Coney Barrett, who had these comments to say, to make back in 2020. They had written responses to some court cases that were mostly concerning COVID mandatory vaccines, the mandates. They have now come back and basically, based on the same premise, reversed, changed their opinions now all of a sudden. Well, this is what you said back in 2020, and now you're saying this now about these illegal immigrants, this deportation issue. He's actually obviously pretty furious. The written response is very, very controlled, very measured. But you don't come out with this kind of a response. You know, there's no motivation to make these kind of comments without a serious amount of frustration level. I mean, the motive here, the motivation, I should say, is based on he's very frustrated, mad, upset with what they're doing. But his response is very measured. So it's been interesting to read that. If you get a chance to do it, Robert Govea has probably the best analysis of this stuff. He's a really good. He has a little. I think he has a side. He says it's watching the Watchers is one of his things that he does. It's kind of a side thing he does. It's kind of a. I think he has actually a also a YouTube channel for that. But his YouTube channel is called Robert Govea. He has a lot of shorts and stuff. He was doing. He has a 2-hour show. He usually does a live show in the afternoons, late afternoons, He's out in Arizona. And he usually does a live show. It's typically between 2 and 3 hours long. And he, a lot of his interaction with his listening audience in the last part of it, the first part of it's all about cases. So he has all this stuff going on. Well, then he, what he ends up doing is analyzing, going through all the court cases and stuff like that. And he does an excellent job of all that. And then he chops that up into shorter bits and puts it out there. So if you get a chance to listen to the live broadcast, it's kind of interesting. But he used to be part of his he was pretty much the kind of the king, the main person in the law firm he had. And then he was doing so well with the YouTube thing, especially during COVID. He was doing so well with the YouTube thing that it actually became a full time occupation for him. Now he still does cases. He still does interact with the law firm, but they've gone all in on the that even while he's doing, he has a producer obviously, because as they go through the show, while they're still live, they're putting out shorter pieces, like 12 minute, 8 minute, 18 minute, 20 minute pieces of clips of certain segments that he will do. And as he's doing the show, you can tell he's kind of going from one segment to the next, and he'll kind of end a segment with kind of like he's ending a show, and it starts in with the next one. So it's kind of a very good analysis, though. His legal mind is brilliant. He's got a very good conservative, he's been a defense attorney before, and he's just very good with handling cases and talking about all the stuff. So with that said, we're pushing up on 30 minutes, and I think I've made my point. These people are wishy-washy. That they have no, it's just whatever it happens to be, the feeling of the day. Now, why they've, Scott Jennings, I think on CNN probably put it the best of anybody. He said, "You guys, you're picking the wrong side of all these issues, all these 80-20 issues, where 80% of the country, you know, agrees with the issue, and the Democrats are picking the other sides only because Trump is picking the side of the 80%. So they feel like they have to oppose everything he does. And in my opinion, the Democrats, if they could, they'd run this guy, this Abuego guy, they'd run him for president, their presidential candidate. This is kind of, they're such poor judges of character. They think about the lawyer who was representing Stormy Daniels, for instance. They want him to run for president. I think it'd be great if you ran for president. I think you should run for president. Everybody on CNN and MSNBC were all just lauding over this guy, fawning over the guy, trying to give him a show. Well, he ended up in prison, of course, because he was defrauding his clients. So they should run him for president. They had several people within 3 years during the Trump administration. I think there was like 3 or 4 people that they were just, oh, this is the perfect person. We should run this person for president. And of course, that person would find out more about the person. That was, they'd fall apart. And we're on to the next one. Never mind. We're going to next one. It's just constantly what they do. And right now they're in shambles. There's a clip of David Hogg in an interview. And surprisingly enough, Reince Priebus. I did not think he would stand up for anything Trump was doing. I thought he had pretty much bailed on, because he's definitely an establishment Republican. He's a very rich individual, but he was on a panel show. David Hogg was there, and I really would do want to play the interview or play this interaction between him and David Hogg, because it is it's a very heated debate between the two of them. David Hogg, David Hogg is kind of a scary individual, only because he's so convincing, and when he can lie through his teeth and be very convincing. He has this persona that I think is very attractive to some people, especially some radicals who just want to hear the rhetoric. He's very good at presenting the rhetoric and pushing it in your face and talking quickly and just rattling off all the talking points all at once without a script, which is unusual on the left. They usually have to have their script in front of them, but he's very good at memorizing all the talking points and just spewing them out all you know, in a rapid fire. And it's that's dangerous, only mostly because it's very convincing, and it's not based on facts. It's just based on his ability to speak, which is that's the worst kind of it's manipulative is what it is. It's very dangerous in that respect. It's a very manipulative character, and not that he's telling the truth, but that he's able to tell lies and make you believe it. Very deceptive. So, having said all of that, I am now pushed over the 30-minute limit that I set for myself today by saying nothing. Folks, tomorrow I'm going to have, tomorrow on Friday, there'll be a show. Hopefully there'll be a show on Monday, I think, but I'm not positive about that. We'll see how things go this week. I'm going to be probably doing a live show, hopefully one of the 2 days. Of course, if I do a live show, it'll probably be a little bit later in the morning. However, the time the live show airs, probably about the same time I usually post a show. So it might not be much different. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for subscribing. What all this stuff. Folks, have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. We are at the midpoint in the week. Almost over now. Hump day. Hope I can get you through it. Help get you through it. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week. Music's getting too loud for me to talk over now, so I'll just go ahead and fade out here. See ya.
Bye.